in connection with the way that we view one another. And not only view one another, but the way that we treat one another. First of all, I want to define that word receive. That's found there in Romans 15, chapter and verse 7. It means from a Greek word, and that Greek word is proslambano. It means to take in. That's one aspect of the meaning. So we could say that what Paul is saying here in Romans 15, chapter and verse 7, take one another in. We also see another thought and idea, and it is that from the standpoint of kindness. And that is to grant one access to one's heart. And I'll just put up grant access. That we are to grant access into our heart, one another. And it is something that Christians, as Christians, we are given this commandment to do that. And sometimes it takes work on our part to do that. I recognize that. Again, there are people that we really like to be around, and maybe others that not so much. But I believe that we have some guidelines to help us receive one another as we find in Scripture. And it is found in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. So if you will turn over there. And Paul begins by saying, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you were called. I think the first aspect in receiving one another is really to look at self, and that what we do in our conduct of life, that walk, is to walk worthy. We're going to see at the end of this lesson that there, and we'll mention it, of course, there's another part to the statement that Paul made in Romans 15, chapter and verse 7, which I've not read yet. But all of this entails what he says in the latter part of the 7th verse. And so, first of all, it is incumbent upon us, in order to receive one another, that we walk worthy, we conduct ourselves worthy, we are as Christians. And that word walk is peripateo, and it means to regulate oneself, to conduct oneself in accordance with God's Word. And when you look at that word, peripateo, P-E-R-I, that means to look around, be aware in that 360-degree circumference of our conduct. And he says that we are to walk worthy. And that word worthy there, of course, that which would give in accordance to God's Word and instruction to us. Paul says this about walking worthy in Colossians, the 1st chapter and verse 10. He says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And I believe that the more that we involve ourselves in God's Word, the more that we increase in that understanding of God's Word, it makes us fruitful and it makes us and allows us to receive one another exactly the way that we are given instruction to do, as Paul says in Romans 15, 7. Walking worthy. If we are not walking worthy, that means that we're walking by our own determination, by our own will, by the standard that we have put forth, and not by the standard that is given to us from God. But that walking worthy has to do with the conduct that is described in Scripture about the way that we lead our lives. And I don't believe that we can receive one another and we cannot follow that commandment that has been given to us by Paul there in Romans 15, chapter verse 7, that first part. Unless truly we are walking as Christians, we're conducting ourselves as children of God. And with that recognition that the souls that every person possess is from God. And that even though there may be idiosyncrasies that we don't necessarily appreciate in others and so forth, their soul we love. Their soul we love. And so we put aside from time to time those things that might be a little bit irksome to us. And we disregard those things and we follow after, of course, what Paul says in 1 Corinthians the 13th chapter, beginning in verse 1 and going down through verse 7, where it talks about love. And we mentioned that last week, where love bears all things. And that's part of walking worthy in connection with receiving one another. But also here in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, in verses 1 through 3, Paul says in verse 2 that we walk with all lowliness. Here he mentions lowliness. Well, what does he mean by the term lowliness? What is it that he's getting to in that? And if you look at the word lowliness in the Greek, it means having an humble opinion of oneself, a deep sense of one's moral littleness. And it follows after what Paul told the Corinthians, not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. There have been those that have been told before that if you are at least not as good a Christian as I am, well, then you're going to hell. And I've heard of an individual telling people that in a congregation before. And what they have done, of course, is set up a standard for themselves, of themselves, whereby they judge everyone else because they have considered themselves and already made judgment, which is not their place to do. God will be the final judge of whether or not they are walking worthy of the Lord or not. And so when we think about this walking worthy and with in connection with lowliness, and that is the humble opinion of oneself and the deep sense of one's moral littleness, that affords us, when we have that attitude, then to receive one another because we recognize our shortcomings. We recognize that we have idiosyncrasies. We recognize that, yes, there may be somebody out there that doesn't really care to be around me that much. And if we're able to do that, well, then we understand what Paul is talking about in Philippians, the second chapter, verses 3 through 4. He says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. And right there is another key in connection with lowliness, where we're not just concerned about ourselves, what we like. As long as we're not uncomfortable, then everything is fine. We don't care about the other person. But rather, we look to the other person. And it takes again, something that we mentioned this morning, and that is sacrifice on the part of self in order to do that. And that's part of walking worthy. And it's part of receiving one another. Where it's not just my like and my dislike, and it's either that way or the highway, but rather, what is it that benefits our brother, our sister in Christ Jesus? Paul also says, when we look in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, in verse 2, he says, walk worthy of the calling wherewith you were called, with all lowliness, and he says, with gentleness. With gentleness. And you know, I think that I know that I've seen people from time to time that are not very gentle with those that they have a little bit of a hard time being with, or rather abrupt. They don't really listen to what they say. If they are spoken to, they look that way, but then turn away quickly as possible. And when you look at this word gentleness in the Greek, it means an inwrought grace of the soul. Being, first of all, a meekness before God, and then as it is in the face of men. That just as we will hear God, because He is our Father, we hear our brothers and sisters. And we respond to them in this gentleness, this inwrought grace of the soul. And it comes about because we recognize just how much we've been forgiven. And when we forget that, well, then it is hard to receive one another because we put ourselves up as a standard. In James, the third chapter, in verse 17, James says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Where if you look at the statements that James makes in connection with this gentleness, we recognize that's our treatment that comes from God to us. And if we are a child of God, we have been treated very, very gently by the Lord. And the reason I say that is that we've not been treated by the justice that should be ours, but rather by that gentleness through grace and mercy in order to become a child of God. And so it is incumbent upon us as children of God that we walk in that worthy manner where we show others gentleness also. Without having a preconceived idea, well, if I say this to that person, I know exactly how they're going to react. And it may be that you're right, and maybe because you don't get along the best with a certain person, you know how they're going to respond, but that's a benefit to you. It's a benefit in knowing how the response is going to be, but also it is planting a seed when we receive how they are with gentleness, that it begins not only to abound to our account, but also to a change of that other individual too. And so we respond in that matter, and walking worthy then is being gentle. And then Paul also says, not only being gentle, but with long suffering. Long suffering. And all we have to do really is, in a sense, just turn that word backwards and we say, suffer long. Suffer long with one another. When we look at the meaning of that word, macrothumia, patience, endurance, constancy, steadfastness, perseverance, forbearance, slowness in avenging wrongs. And of course, it sounds much like 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, doesn't it? Verses 1 through 7. And the reason being that all of these that Paul is bringing up here really relates back to that particular thought concerning love. And this command that we have of receive one another. But I want you to think about this from this standpoint when we look at the definition of that word. Endurance, patience, constancy, steadfastness. It's not the attitude that we are to have. Well, I know how they're going to be. And so I'm just through having any dealings with them whatsoever. I'll tell you what, if that was the case that God had with us, woe unto each and every one of us. Woe unto each and every one of us. But rather, we continue in constancy. We continue in this suffering long. Because if we have the attitude of walking worthy, and truly our desire is to do what Paul says here in Romans 15, verse 7, receive one another. That means that there's a desire that I get to like you more than I have in the past, and I want you to like me more than you have in the past. And so it brings that about. But Paul also says there in verse 2 of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, bearing with one another. Bearing with one another. To bear with. It's very interesting whenever you look at the definition of this word. Because what it means is to hold oneself up against. Hang on. To hang on with not allowing temper, impatience, being perturbed to overtake us. Hang on, holding on. But also it means this. To put up with. Bear with, endure, forbear. And as children of God, we hopefully have the attitude that we're all looking for the same thing and endeavoring the same thing, and that is a home in heaven. And how many times have you heard a sermon preached, if you can't be friends here upon the earth, well, how will you find yourselves in heaven with those that you don't like? Well, we need to be friendly to one another. We need to receive one another. As a matter of fact, it's more than just friendly. It's about loving one another. It's about loving one another. When we look in Colossians, the third chapter, Colossians 3, verse 12 through 13, Paul says this. He says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And the basis upon which we put up, maybe with those that were not the most comfortable to be around, comes from the standpoint of being a child of God. And I don't think that a true child of God exists that has the desire, even for one that they really don't like to be around. I don't think that their desire is, and I know their desire is not, if they are truly a child of God, I hope that person is in hell when this life is over, because I cannot stand to be around them. True child of God will not think that way. And so what we do, we work on that while we're here upon this earth, because we have that hope of being in eternity with them, existence without end. And that's the bearing with, is putting up with one another. We realize that there's something that's going to take place later on that will, of course, take away all physical feelings that we have here upon this earth. It's going to take away, except for one. And Paul mentions that, of course, when we look at the end of the 12th chapter of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and the end of the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and that is love. He says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, desire earnestly the best gifts, but yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And there he's talking about love, and he enters into that discussion then in verses 1 through 7. And when he gets down to the end of that discussion in the 13th chapter, in verse 13, he says, now abideth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. As a matter of fact, it's the only one that will endure for eternity. Faith will not, because when the Lord appears, we'll have no more faith. We will see Him as He is. If we're children of God, we will be like Him as He is. And there'll be no more hope, because hope will then be realized. And there's nothing else to hope for, because we have a home with God in heaven. But the one thing that will survive from this earth to and through eternity, which is still not a good word, through is not a good word, or in eternity, is love. It will abide. We need to be working on that now. Paul also says in verse 3 of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And when we look at this, we understand the love that we are to have, because he said, bearing with one another in love. That love that we are to have is that higher standard of love. And God's not calling just for friendship, just not for affection or adoration, but what he's calling for in each of us, and what Paul says in Romans 15 and verse 7, receive one another upon the basis of love, is that higher love, that agape or agapeo love, that gives up self. It puts self second. It doesn't say, what do I want first, and then everybody else can just follow, because I know that what I want is the best. Matter of fact, everybody here recognizes that the person with the best opinion in this congregation is yourself. And in a sense, that's good, and in a sense, that's bad. We need to have good opinions. We need to have opinions. I think in order to be alive, if you don't have opinion, well, you're pretty much a vegetable. But we recognize that there are other opinions also. And so when he says here, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, I want you to look at these words with me also. Endeavoring to make haste, to be zealous. When you think about that word endeavor, it's not something, well, I'll take care of that tomorrow. I will work on that tomorrow. But rather, it is from the aspect of now. I will start now. I will continue in it now. And I will do it now. And what he's talking about here is endeavoring to keep the unity. And wherever he uses that word, of course, we see it throughout Scripture. But going back to the definition, and we look there at unity, it is oneness. Oneness. And it deals with another word that is very important, and that is consensus. Consensus. You know, Christians don't look to outvote one another. As a matter of fact, voting, I believe, is unscriptural. The old parliamentary aspect of you go to a business meeting and you've done your political work in the background, and now you've got enough votes if you want to get something through. Now we have a vote, and whoever has the most votes wins. No. But rather, it is through consensus. And that's the way that the elders operate also. Through consensus. Not about my will, but it's about consensus. Because, and I'll just use names here, because we only have two elders, and you don't, even if I didn't use names, you know who I was talking about. Daryl's elder is Greg, and Greg's elder is Daryl, and they recognize that. They shepherd one another. And so then they make decisions based upon consensus, and not just about what they desire, but what is best for the congregation. all, of course, under the auspices of, is it in accordance with God's word? Is it in accordance with God's word? But he also said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, and he says, in the bond. In the bond, he says. And of course, the next word is going to be peace. And while I'm here, I'll just go ahead and write that up. In the bond of peace. And that word bond means tying together as a ligament, uniting principle, control, band or bond. In that consensus, there is a coming together. There's an agreement that takes place. That endeavoring to keep the unity in the bond of peace, that ligament that ties it together. And when we put it in the spiritual sense, it's all for the very same goal, and that is glorifying our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and making it to heaven. And then when we look at the word peace, that means harmonious relationship. And that's the reason that these two are tied together, because that oneness really is a harmonious relationship, being in harmony. That, according to Paul, I believe as we look at Romans 15 chapter and verse 1, is here in Ephesians 4 verses 1 through 3, is really, it really is a commentary on the first part of Romans 15 chapter and verse 7. Receive you one another. It's a commentary of how to get that done. That command that is given here by Paul, not a suggestion, but a command that is given to receive you one another. Walk worthy in the Lord. In other words, how you receive one another is going to show whether or not you're really walking worthy in Christ Jesus. But there's a second part. And it's the one that ties all of this together. There's a second part of verse 7. And that second part of verse 7 is, receive you one another, Lord, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. We think about what has been given us and the mercy that has been bestowed upon us. And why us? Why me? All the things that we have done in our life before becoming a Christian. You know, we have a lot of people in this congregation now. And some have not always walked in the Lord, but now they are in the Lord. And some were, as the old statement goes, which is not really accurate, they're raised in the church. Some like that, where they have been in a family of Christians all of their life, from the time that they were born. And yet, wherever you meld all that down and dissect it and look at the situation of all the people that are here, we're all in the same boat. And that's the reason that Paul says, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God. And that is certainly true before we become a child of God, whether or not you were raised in a home where the Christian, where the parents were Christians or not. But it's upon the basis of what Paul says there at the beginning of verse 7, receive you one another just as Christ has received us. That really puts the emphasis on all of this and really explains the thought about walking worthy. If the Lord has done that for me, how much less can I do that for my brother, for my sister, for one that is a child of God with me, with the same hope and the same desire that I have? How can I do any different? As a matter of fact, I want to go back to Romans 15 chapter, this time starting in verse 5. Romans, the 5th chapter rather, starting in verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, you go into the cross just owed me. You just owed me going to the cross. You did what you needed to do because you owed me to do that. No. No. Lord didn't do it out of owing anybody, because all fall short of the glory of God. It's not because we've always been the best people. Not because we're all so easy to get along with. It's none of those things. It's out of that love. Receive you one another as Christ has died for us and receives us. Here we are in a congregation. We have a lot of different demographics in this congregation. We have young people. We have very elderly people in this congregation. But one thing that we can get from this when we look at these admonitions that are given by Paul, both in Romans and also as we looked in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, is that we can have a oneness of mind. And whenever a command is given by God, automatically we should understand it is doable. It is doable. God has never asked us to do something we cannot do. And so when he says receive one another, it is doable. It is doable. A lot of different thoughts, ideas, demographics, way that we communicate. I mean, there are words that I use that some of the young people do not understand whatsoever because it dates back to the 50s when I was born. And I think to myself, how in the world can they not understand it? And they say words that I don't understand because it is contemporary today and I'm pretty much out of touch on anything that's contemporary today. And I recognize that, but I tell you what, we can be one in Christ Jesus. We can be one in Christ Jesus, and we can receive one another. Let me ask you this afternoon. Let me ask you, are you receiving your brothers and sisters in Christ the way that you should? Or, when you leave this building, is there a discussion? You know, old brother or sister so-and-so said something I didn't like and it really bothered me. And they do that all the time, and there's complaining about the things that are said by that brother or by that sister. What is the discussion on the way home? You know, I don't like the way that he did that or she did that. Or is it, thank God that I could be with my family, my spiritual family today. And I love each and every one of them. This congregation, we've experienced quite a bit of growth. Even though you couldn't tell it tonight, we have quite a few out and don't know exactly why. But usually we don't have this situation. Usually we have a good crowd. Satan will do anything that he can to keep us from receiving one another. Because if he can get in and put himself in between one another, he will destroy this congregation. And don't any of us be naive. That's exactly what his desire is. But if we are in that attitude of oneness, and our desire is no matter how I'm approached, no matter the words that are said, I'm going to receive my brother and my sister because I love them, I love their soul, then what we have done is exactly what Peter said to do. Flee from him, resist him, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Are we resisting him by receiving one another? If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.